for Deacon Bob Brutale reading and Deacon Gloria Burnett for lighting the candles. And then I don't know what I want to call the deacon or associate minister, Mother Serena, thank her for reading the lesson this morning coming from the Gospel according to Mark. And I also just want to say a special word of thanks to Voices of Praise. You know, they have led us in the ministry of music since March. Amen?
Amen.
And we need to thank them. You know, and you know, I realize that I'm not going to give the men a break because the men of praise could have come in here one or two times. And so, you know, we're still in prayer, but devoted to praise because not only did they lose one family member, another family member had COVID-19, and that one directs our, you know, children of praising. Young folks, so let's continue to pray for them, you know, to give them strength because, you know, I really want people, you know, I know some people who come visit us and, you know, you see the same faces, but I want them to see some of those other faces before you get here because there's a whole lot more than New Hope Fellowship. Prepare by keeping watch. Let us pray. Search me, O God, try me. Know my heart, and if there's anything destructive in my being, I ask you because you don't know me. You know me better than I know myself. And oh Lord, you'll make me right right now. Give me that clarity of mind, of sight, and of speech, because people need to understand this word. We overlook this word so many times because so many things haven't seemed to happen. 2,000 years, and it hasn't happened yet, but no man knows the day, and no man knows the hour. So help me, O Lord, to preach it with clarity and with power. And, O Lord, I always call on you to give me the strength to preach your word one more time. And because you've done it before, I know you can do it again. And I pray this prayer in the name of this above all names, the name of Jesus. Amen. Prepare by keeping watch. If you've been into any of the stores lately, even the grocery stores, before the candy for Halloween was sold, before we could place our orders for turkey dinner, the world had hijacked our special day. The world was preparing to celebrate Xmas. The world was preparing to tell others to have a happy holiday. But I'm not going to blame the situation on the world. I'm not going to say that the world is trying to be politically correct. I'm not going to say that the world needs to put Christ back into Christmas. No, the problem lies at the very door of the church. Because before you celebrate anything, you need to prepare. And I think I need to go away from my text here for a little moment. Because, you know, this thing called COVID, it's gotten real bad. But, you know, this thing COVID is going to go away. And as churches, we've got to prepare for the new normal. Because we just can't turn the switch on. And say, you know, we're going to open up the door and everything going to go back to being the same because it will not be the same. We're going to have to reach out to the people we've been ministering to each and every Sunday morning. We got to reach out to the community and bring in people because a lot of things are going to change. As a church, we need to start preparing. But even in the days when everybody came to church, or people came to church, when he wanted a job because of a folk that owned some businesses in the church. Came to church to get a husband or wife because there wasn't no other place to go. You came to church to find that husband or your wife. And yes, there were those who came to worship. However, the only preparation then was preparation for those Christmas pageants. Preparation for those Christmas cantatas. And the pastor who should always prepare. But cantata, boy, if you're black, you might not even know what a cantata is. That was my wife told me one time when I was in the Baptist church. They have a cantata. What is that? Well, it's a musical presentation. A long musical presentation. Long with music that puts many of us to sleep. So long that normally they don't even preach a sermon on that Sunday. But for some reason, I'm always the exception. I've had my struggles in ministry, and after complaining about being asked on a Friday evening to preach on Sunday morning on several occasions, my pastor decided to punish me. He didn't let me preach for a long time. And then, when he did, he had me preach the morning that the Easter cantata was sung. And I have preached there since then. And the pageants, they messed us up. For instead of telling the story told by Luke or Matthew, we took a little bit of the birth story of Matthew, a little bit of the birth story of Luke, shook them up, and gave us the cute parts, and if it wasn't cute, we cleaned them up. So instead of learning what Matthew and Luke wanted us to know, we were given a watered-down version of the basis of our faith when we never learned what those authors intended. But the most damaging part is that when we are questioned about the differences surrounding what's in the book and what we have been shown, we are unable to defend our faith. Our faith that opened heaven doors and gave us new life, to learn the stories of the first coming of the one we should be preparing to celebrate, learn them just as they were told in the Bible. But the question will always be asked, do we celebrate the birth of Jesus on the right day? The answer is, we don't know. Because when Jesus was born, most people missed it. It was never recorded. And the words of that Negro spiritual speak to what we don't know so well. Sweet little Jesus boy. Born long time ago. Sweet little holy child. And we didn't know who you was. See, we don't know the day that Jesus was born. But since he was born, we're going to prepare for that celebration. We are preparing for the first coming. However, we should also be preparing to celebrate his second coming, for Jesus is coming back. Oh, the second coming is spoken of in Acts. The second coming is spoken of in 1 Thessalonians. Jesus speaks of his return in this text. So as we prepare to celebrate the gift in the manger, we should also prepare for the coming of God's kingdom right here on earth. Oh, the verses preceding our text are very instructive, for they speak of deceivers. Deceivers who said that they were the ones. Deceivers who claimed they knew when the day was coming. Or deceivers come to all sizes, shapes, and forms, but they got only one thing in common. They're all liars. Don't believe any of them. Just start the preparation. Because just like God put on human flesh on the backside of Bethlehem, even though it's been a long time since Jesus said he was coming back, even though most of us feel that Jesus is not coming back during our time, make sure your house is in order. Start living right. For none of us know the day or the hour when Jesus is coming. The first thing our text teaches us is what I say every Sunday. Jesus is coming back. Oh, it's going to be a day that you need to prepare for. I don't think it's going to be one of those left behind moments. Revelation speaks of an end. However, it was written in a cold language that we are still trying to understand. Don't get worked up on any of those theories. Just let God do what God wants to do, for no man or woman knows. Verse 24 gives us a good idea of how that day would be, a day we all need to prepare for. But seeing what this verse says would drive a lot of folks out of their minds. But after days of suffering, what kind? I don't know. But suffering, And that's why I always get upset when people in the church in the United States claim persecution. We've got to be careful about the words that come out of our mouths, because so many times we speak them into reality. But after suffering, things start to happen. Things that make sense, especially know you know a little science. And before somebody gets upset, scientists study the earth and the solar system. And who created the earth and the solar system? God did. Will scientists ever know everything about God's creation? Only when they get to heaven and get a chance to act God. But this they know, the earth and the solar system are slowing down. And in the name of progress, in the name of the economy, we are doing things to mess up God's universe even more. See, scientists know, and because Jesus is God, Jesus knew over 2,000 years when he spoke these words, 2,000 years ago, the earth and our solar system were slowing down, and the solar fusion of the sun was coming to the end. The sun will become dark, either because of the end of that fusion or because we pollute God's creation to the point that the rays of the sun can't come through the messed up atmosphere. See, a lot of things have been labeled political that are theological because people want to try to keep any discussion of God out of the destruction we are doing. The fact is, we are dealing with what God created, and since Jesus is coming back, we need to be prepared with an answer for the way we are destroying God's creation. What follows is even more frightening. The stars will fall from the sky, and the planets and their heavenly bodies will be shaken. And before you say it ain't happening, have you ever seen meteors? Have you ever heard of solar storms? How about the asteroids that could knock this planet out of orbit? See, the divide between science and theology has done God's creation a great disservice, because scientists has in some instances disrespected the study of God who created what it studies, and theology has refused to acknowledge things about God's creation because we refuse to accept what God has revealed about creation through science. All of us need to get up off of our high horses and prepare for what Jesus says is going to happen. When these things happen, they're going to happen. Even if it's 1 billion years from now. See, we have to keep on telling the story so if we are here or whoever is here will know that when things happen, they will see the human one. I'm talking about Jesus. They will see. We might see Jesus coming in the clouds. Not just coming, but coming with great power and splendor. And the good news for all who are there, good news for all who prepare, Jesus will do exactly what I say every Sunday. Jesus will come back, not just come back, but send the angels, your angel, my angel, the angel of the faithful, the angel those of us old school used to sing about. We say, all night, all day, the angels keep watching over me. Well, the need when Jesus comes back for watching will be over. And Jesus is going to send them to gather his chosen people from the four corners of the earth. Not just in the United States. Not just in Europe. The angels are going to be sent to Africa. Oh, that got me. I saw a little thing the other day, you know, with people from Africa built this nation. But I saw somebody up there calling on the angels from Africa to come back and overturn election that they falsely prophesied. No, God is sending the angels to Africa. They ain't coming over here to deal with any mess. We got the one coming here. They coming to get us. The angels are going to Asia. The angels are going to Australia and Africa. And because there will be many who will call Paul calls this earthly tent, God is going to send angels from the end of the earth to the end of heaven. No matter where you are, God has an angel that to find those who have prepared for his second coming. Then Jesus goes from proclamation to doing what Jesus done so well. Telling the parable. A parable, a story that people understand and lets us know signs are significant. Your phone calls not being returned, that's a sign. In this time of COVID-19 and the invitations to virtual gatherings and stop, that's a sign. When the thrill is gone, that's a sign. Something in your relationship with somebody in your family or friend has changed, that's a sign. So Jesus tells the story about the sign. You know, last week when I preached rejoicing, I talked about the fig, the natural energy bar in biblical times. And since people picked figs as they walked the roads of Palestine, it was important to know when to expect figs to be on the tree. And too many of us are making the wrong move right now because we don't know the sign. First day on the job, and we want to be in charge, not paying attention to the sign. Finance is all messed up, and we want a Tesla S, not paying attention to the sign. Having paid into Social Security and still expecting a check, is anybody paying attention to the sign this morning? Jesus though says after its branch becomes tender. Is anybody in here who knows anything about gardening? The branches now are getting brittle. You can snap them with your hands. But when the summer is near, you know, because tender branches show up and new leaves sprout. It's time to start looking for the figs. But modern technology has caused us to stop paying attention to the signs. See, when I walk out in my short sleeves on Thanksgiving morning to get my paper, that's a sign. When we run out of names for tropical storms, that's a sign. See, start paying attention for the signs right now so that when the sun goes dark, when that reflection of the moon, which is the sun's light, won't give out its light, you'll know that Jesus is near, that Jesus is at the door, and no matter how much we know, no matter how much power we think we have, we can't keep Jesus from coming through that door. And don't let verse 30 give you false assurance. I assure you that this generation won't pass away until all these things have happened. Because I know somebody said it's been a whole lot of generations gone by since Jesus was here. But let me flip this thing on. The Bible looks at time much differently than we do. See, Genesis is just one example. Hebrew is a fluid language where word can have multiple meanings. So we translate the Hebrew word "et" to mean 24 hours instead of a time period, which could be thousands of years. And then generations, we think of 20 or maybe 40 years. But a generation in a Jewish family was determined by the time it took the father to have a son. And in the case of Abraham, it was 100 years until Isaac was born. And since in Christ we have a new creation, the generation Jesus could be talking about is humanity in its entirety until Jesus comes back. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. See, so So I rejoice in the coming of the new heaven and the new earth, because even though heaven as it exists and earth may pass away, the words of Jesus will not pass away. And that's why we must ever be mindful of the fact nobody knows. This pastor does not know, and I will never claim that I know. But listen to the list of those who said that they know. The Essenes, they were, you know, y'all know about the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Well, they had the Essenes too. All of them were there with Jesus. And they predicted the end of Jesus, or the end of time, right after Jesus died. Martin of Tours predicted the end in 480. Burns Christians predicted an end at 995 AD. Pope Sylvester predicted the end in 1000. There were predictions from the 11th to the 15th century. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church, made a prediction of 1835. Herbert W. Armstrong, some of y'all might remember him for his show, The World Tomorrow. He never gave up on predicting. He predicted Jesus would come in 1936. When he didn't come in 1936, he tried 1943. He gave it a break a little while, claimed it in 1972, and then claimed it in 1975 again. Jim Jones predicted 1967. He would predict his own death. Louis Farrakhan, 1991. Pat Robertson tried it in 1982, and he came back in 1999. Jerry Falwell said 1999. Even John Hagee decided to get into the mix and said it was going to be over in 2015. They knew what Jesus said, and just like so many others that I did not name, they did not get it right because nobody knows. Let me say one more time what Jesus said. Nobody knows when the day or the hour will come. Jesus even takes it a little further. The angels in heaven don't know. They'll just be summoned to bring us home. Not the Son, only the Father knows the day, the hour, and the time. I'm saying, the Bible is saying, Jesus said, watch out. Watch out for the deceivers Jesus talked about. Watch out for those who tell you from behind pulpits what they don't know. Watch out and stay alert, because you only need to know the signs. You need to be on the lookout for the signs and recognize the signs when they show up, because you don't know. I don't know. Nobody knows when the time is coming. Then Jesus tells another story. A story about an important man who decided to take a trip. Jesus could have been talking about it himself, because Jesus knew he was going to have to climb up Calvary's Hill. Jesus knew he was going to have to suffer and die on that cross. He knew that on Resurrection Sunday, God was going to give him up with all power. And Jesus was going to take his trip to glory. He left us behind, and he gave all of us something to do. Not just a preacher, not just a deacon. Jesus gave all of our gifts, because Jesus had something for all of us to do. And Jesus is telling us, just like he told those in the story, you don't know when that important man would come back. They didn't know whether he would come back in the evening or at midnight, or whether when the rooster crowed early in the morning or at daybreak. Jesus tells the people, he's telling the story, and Jesus is telling us, don't let the man show up. Don't let me show up. I'm talking about Jesus. When you weren't expected, or you were sleeping and not doing the work that you were assigned to do. So start, stay alert, prepare to celebrate when God showed up in human flesh, and angels proclaimed his work, and prepare for the day Because nobody knows the day. Nobody knows the hour when Jesus is coming back. And I hope I'm in that number. Because Jesus is coming back to get his own. His own. Are you in that number this morning? Are you preparing this morning, church? Because he's coming back. It's in the word. Jesus said it himself. So I'm going to prepare. I hope you prepare. Even though we don't know the day, we don't know the hour, it's good to prepare each and every day. Because if you prepare each and every day, you'll have time to get it right. So keep on working. Keep on praying. Keep on calling on God. Keep on believing in God. Keep on trusting in God. And God will. God will. I said God will. Not only will he work it out on this side, he'll work it out for us so that we can make it to the other side. Amen. 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 Amen.